This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is 7:48 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 4th of March. And as expected, you're listening to The Morning One with Philip C and myself. But anyway, recently we've been seeing headlines about abandoned cars in neighborhoods, and I think for many of us, it's something that occurs in our neighborhood, and there are clearly some eyesores. But they also apparently are a threat to the environment. So yesterday, the Department of Environment announced it will implement a pilot project for sustainable vehicle disposal called the Authorized Automotive Treatment Facility.
That's a mouthful.
A bit. A lot of AATF. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll call it that.
So according to the Road Transport Department, there's estimated to be about 60,000 vehicles abandoned. This is an issue, at least in part, because Malaysia does not have an end-of-life vehicle policy by which the dismantling and disposal of unwanted cars is regulated. Actually, this idea has been brought up several times. In fact, as part of the National Auto Policy of 2009, the government introduced mandatory annual inspections as a requirement for road tax renewal for all vehicles over 15 years old as a first step towards an end-of-life vehicle policy. But it later U-turned on this decision due to much public objection.
So for a view on the role of such a policy and why Malaysia has not been able to implement it, joining us on the line is Hezri Samsuri, Managing Director at automotive site Kareta.my. And good morning. And I want to ask you, like, what is the main purpose of an end-of-life vehicle, also known as ELV policy, actually?
ELV is actually for safety and emission standard. That is the main reason for ELV. Of course, consumers will think that it's a way for the industry to force them to buy new cars. They think that if I own a 10-year-old car, well, I have to scrap the car and I am forced to buy a new one. No, it's not that. What we want to do, what ELV is supposed to do is actually, if you have an old car, let's say 15 years old, an old clunker. Now, if your car is being maintained regularly, there should be no issue except maybe safety and emission standard. But imagine if these old vehicles are not being well taken care of. You can see a lot of clunkers on the road, right? Kereta buruk, which I think if they go any further than 100 kilometers per hour, boleh jatuh roboh terus pun. We cannot have such vehicles on the road. So it's safety, for safety reason. The same reason why we require commercial vehicles to undergo inspection every year.
We were supposed to see policy in the past whereby Proton will offer a cash rebate of 5,000 ringgit for cars aged over 10 years old in exchange, as you call clunkers, in exchange for a new saga or persona. So why did it not materialize?
Well, there are many stories about this, but I think the real reason is because that the government didn't have the capacity to actually come up with the cash to be given to the new buyers, actually. Actually, when you say the rebate, the 5,000 ringgit rebate, it's the real story is actually Proton and Produa will offer 2,500 ringgit out of their own pocket, and the rest will come from the government. From what I heard, from what I was being told, the project did not actually kick off, and there were issues with the cars, the old cars that were traded in, and the project actually is a white elephant, as usual.
So what are the barriers to an ELV policy in Malaysia, in your view, then?
Well, before we introduce ELV in Malaysia, what we need to do is actually to educate the consumer. I think when it comes to road safety, the industry has actually, they have done a good job in introducing new safety regulation and standards in current vehicles. But we are not really bothered about emission. There is even no proper Bahasa Malaysia word for emission. So when they started, when there were rumours about reintroducing ELV in Malaysia, the consumer was quite angry because basically they didn't understand what is ELV. To them, the government will take away all these old cars and force them to buy new cars. Actually, that is not the truth. Singapore has the same principle, ELV, simply because they need to control the number of vehicles on the road. Now, if you look at this logically, Malaysians have been buying 500,000 units of cars every year. Where do the cars go? Sooner or later, our roads will be too congested with vehicles, whether old or new. And in order for us Malaysians to buy new vehicles, we need, most of us will need to sell the old cars first before we can afford to buy a new one. If the market is saturated with old vehicles, it will be very difficult for us to buy a new one. So ELV is something that is, I would say, we have to introduce it, and the education should begin right now.
Right. So what's the ideal design then for ELV in Malaysia?
I think it should be voluntary. And the one that they did before, RM5,000 for Produa and Proton, was actually quite good. We can do the same, but we do not limit it only to Produa and Proton. We should stop doing that. We should open it to all the brands. RM5,000 off the new car. So I think they should do that voluntary. And when the market, when consumer, they understand what, why ELV, we have, why we have to introduce ELV, then we can make it mandatory. Who bears the cost? Whether they like it or not, the government will have to come in. Maybe they'll give tax incentives and stuff like that. It's true that they can depend on the industry, but right now, automotive is actually a sunset industry. I don't think the profit that the car companies are getting is as high as before. And in terms of pollution, for example, there is no other way. The government will have to foot the bill, either cash or tax incentives.
So who would actually benefit from an ELV policy?
Well, for Malaysians, definitely we'll be getting cleaner air because new vehicles means better emission. Two, we can see cars which are more fuel efficient on the road. So that is good for the people, the consumer, lah, because they don't need to fork out more money for fuel. But of course, the real gainer will be the industry because they can sell new cars. Lah.
So currently, what options do people have then to remove old, unwanted or unsafe vehicles?
Well, of course, the first option would be to sell off the car. I mean, if you're lucky enough, you can get people to buy the car off your hands. If not, then you should, you can also sell it as besi buruk lah. You can scrap the car, and we have scrap yards, and they will help you to deregister the car with JPJ.
And on the topic of safety, Malaysia also does not mandate regular safety inspection of vehicles in tandem with road tax renewal. I mean, what is your view on this?
Okay, well, you don't really need to have your vehicle being inspected every time you want to renew your road tax if your vehicle is, let's say, below 10 years old. Because the lifespan of a vehicle, of a car, is actually around 10 years old. Industry standard is 10 years old. So after 10 years, then I think that there should be some inspection of the vehicle every year or every 2 years. The pros is we know that the cars on the road are safe to be driven. Cons, the consumer will not like it lah. And now, when you talk about inspection centers, we only have Puspacom. And even though Puspacom told me that they are not monopolizing the industry, I beg to differ. If you go to first world countries, inspection centers can be owned by various companies. And that is the way it should be, actually. Everything should be liberalized. And the government's function is actually to take care of it and to make sure that the standards are there. I mean, if the government wants to do everything on its own, we will not be moving forward.
Thank you for your time. That was Hezri Samsuri of Kereta.my giving us some very interesting views on what should be our end-of-life vehicle policy, or the lack of one.
The start and stop of it has been going on for a long time.
A long, long time. And I wonder why we cannot get our act together and implement one when there are so many advantages, one of which is cleaner air. We'll have better environmental cars. I mean, modern cars, which are meeting environmental standards. I think that's the right word, right? And also, at the end of the day, he did point out Malaysians on average buy 500,000 cars every year. What
it's
do we do with all the
number.
Old cars? Where does it go? Is it into the junkyard or is it just abandoned on the roadside? And I bet and I ask anybody today, they will be able to tell you of one or two cars left behind in their neighborhood, which has been there for years, and wondering when is it ever going to go away.
That's right. I wonder when, you know, because there's a really political discussion also about livelihoods, because how are you going to foot the bill also if you're doing the forced replacements and all that? And he made the point that the government must come in and foot the bill partly, right? So I guess the challenge now is that the government have the expenditure to do that.
Well, we do know we are facing some fiscal hard times, so probably not a priority of the government, but something that they should really, really consider at the moment. So something I think we will keep an eye on, and whether the government, if they're really serious about green energy, clean environment, you know, and renewables, then this is part and parcel of that whole change, right? That reset that we are talking about. But we're going to be heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we have the Breakfast Grill, where Chuang speaks with the CEO of the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia, otherwise known as CAM. That's happening in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.